numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, I should say. Oh, my goodness. I forgot it all. Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here. Kelly, no pro tip for the first hour. That means we have to do a pro tip in retrospect. You ready for this? A pro tip in retrospect. I think the best point was made by young Dr. Bob. He would appreciate me calling him young. Dr. Bob making a point about the Denver Broncos. While we're, you know, justifiably talking about all of Nathaniel Hackett's just ill-prepared Broncos offensive plays and really pre-snap things where they've had 10 penalties pre-snap in addition to 15 others, 25 penalties through two games, the truth is that they have some of the most trips inside the red zone in the NFL through 2 weeks and just haven't been able to come away with touchdowns. That is something that we usually call unsustainable. So don't sleep completely on the Broncos. They might just have been on the bad side of negative variance in some of these regards, and especially in the red zone case. That's your VSiN pro tip for hour number one. We do one every hour at VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. I do think that was worth noting from Dr. Bob, because we're just killing Hackett, right, all week long. And it's not all bad. They could be better. In other words, our eyes don't process that. You know, our brains don't necessarily absorb that part of it.
They are one of the most interesting teams in the NFL right now to me, because it's the does this get better or worse, right? Or like, I mean,
yeah, I mean, we haven't brought this up. I've brought it up in previous years when Russell Wilson was mic'd up, and I would always come back the next morning and be like, is he as corny to you as I think he is? It was always cringeworthy for me when he was mic'd up. There was always something like inauthentic about it. And then, of course, now this is like a big story. And on the sideline, they had him mic'd up. And he's going around going, runner pass, everybody scream runner pass, how about the defense? And finally, like in a brainwash moment, like they're all going like pass or whatever they said, right? They're like, they're doing it just to like sort of acquiesce and appease this dude.
We never really talked about this. You texted me that last weekend. I still don't get it, because I can take that as that, or I'm like, is he doing that because none of the coaches are yelling at these guys to get on it?
Oh, you spun it positively. I see.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's one or the other to me.
Okay, the first thing is, the notion that the defense is going to be able to pick that up, right, from the sidelines to begin with, is probably a very low rate of truth, right? Like, oh, I thought it was going to be a run, but since you've just shouted pass, now I'm aware that I should play this differently. Come on.
No, I got you. It just, when I first saw it, I took it more as like the NBA vet on the sideline yelling at his players on the young kids on the court. Like, you got to talk to each other. Like, talk to each other on defense.
Well, yeah, in an NBA game or in any basketball game, whatever level you're playing at, that is actually very helpful, right? If there's a pick coming, tell me there's a pick coming, because I can't see it coming. But to do so from the sidelines, okay, yes, and so on some incremental level, maybe it helps. If it helps on one play during the season, then it helps. But the notion that you're like trying to exert your leadership on your new teammates in that way, I guess the question of it was, do you when you think about the Broncos, obviously you have your handicaps, you're looking at stats, you're looking at all the circumstances we're talking about, how ill-prepared they are, the flags, yet they're good to get into the red zone, they just haven't been successful. Do you look at the Russell Wilson thing and think to yourself, yeah, I just don't know, man. I just don't know if he's going to be that beloved by his teammates. Like, just a thought.
I'm going to be that guy who goes down with the ship. I'm like, it's Russell Wilson. I've always thought he's underrated and fantastic, and I'm not willing to give up on the guy yet.
Me too. I have loved Russell Wilson. I think he is underrated. Like, the jams that he got the Seahawks out of single-handedly,
yes,
time after time after time.
When his coach just wanted to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball.
But what if Russell Wilson's not good anymore and he's still that guy? I guess is what I'm getting at. It's one thing if you're Superman and you act like that, but if you're not Superman anymore.
No, I hear you on that. Yeah.
Anyway, Adam Burke, ladies and gentlemen, joins us for a VSiN deep dive into college football plays and pro football plays. Adam Burke, who, by the way, writes the greatest Major League Baseball season previews that I've ever seen in my life. Let me just give him that kind of street cred as well. He joins us. How you doing, Adam? You good?
I'm good. Guardians win. Browns win. I don't know what to do with my hands on this Friday morning.
That's a couple times we've had that reference on this show. By the way, are you if the Guardians end up playing the Yankees in the DS, are we all betting the Guardians? Are you in on this?
Wow. I mean, look, there are a lot of things that are pretty unsustainable about this offense because they just don't make a lot of high contact quality, but they go first to third a lot. They put a ton of balls in play. The question is, you know, will that low strikeout rate carry over to the playoffs with them when all of a sudden they're facing elite pitching instead of central division pitching? So I think they can win the wild card round, but I don't see them advancing past that.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I was trying to big you up there, Adam, but apparently you're not as bold.
I know. I'm also a jaded Clevelander. Don't forget that.
I do. That really trumps all. But good on your little moment here with the Guardians and the Browns both winning. Okay, let's go to your college football plays. Let's start with Texas for a second. Texas, who, of course, they were 1-0, then they played Alabama, should have won that game, I think we can say. But, of course, they had the unfortunate injury to Quinn Ewers, and so Hudson Card took over. He had a hitch in his giddy-up that game. They lose to Bama by one. They were part of the sort of stream of games this past weekend in college football where we sort of texted each other from one game to another. Oh, South Florida, maybe there's an upset here. Oh, maybe Missouri State, there's an upset here. UTSA for a moment there against Texas, but then Texas ends up running out and winning that pretty handily. Where do you stand on them versus Texas Tech this weekend?
Yeah, most of the market up to 7 now, which is a little bit tougher of a number to take. But there is a 6.5 back in town here at Circa this morning. And 6.5 is what I got earlier on in the week with the Longhorns, where I thought last week was a really, really impressive win for them. UTSA is a solid football team, and they just ran the ball right down their throats. They had 298 yards on 36 carries. That was coming off of, you know, that Alabama game where you thought maybe there could be a little bit of a hangover because they lost their starting quarterback. They very well could have won that game, and as you said, maybe should have won that game, but they didn't let it bother them. They went out there and blew out UTSA, and as I said, I think the Roadrunners are a pretty solid bunch. So I think they can just out-physical Texas Tech in this game. I think they can do the same thing to Texas Tech that they did to UTSA last week and just run the ball and force the Red Raiders to stop them. I don't think it's going to happen. Donovan Smith, 7 touchdown passes so far for Texas Tech, but also 5 interceptions, and he's been sacked 10 times. So there's some concerns at the quarterback position for Texas Tech. If they give Texas extra possessions, I don't think they have a chance in this game. So I laid the 6.5 with Texas, and hopefully it comes back around there for people across the country.
All right, and then Marshall comes off the Notre Dame upset, and they go ahead and lose to Bowling Green, but you're back on the Marshall train this week.
Yeah, obviously it's not a great look when you lose to Bowling Green, but at the same time, Marshall outgained Bowling Green by 170 yards last week. They were just -3 in turnovers, settled for a field goal in the first overtime, and Bowling Green scored a touchdown. Those things happen, but for Troy, first of all, it's tough for them to get off the mat, right? I mean, the walk-off Hail Mary, that came after they had a goal line stand to preserve their lead. So it was a very emotional final, you know, 3 or 4 minutes in that game for Troy. But I just think Marshall's the better team here, too. They've been pretty efficient on offense through their first few games. This is their first game, their first conference game as a member of the Sun Belt, so I'm sure they'll be fired up for that one. They have a top 20 defense by yards per play. They've managed 6.3 yards per play on offense themselves. I just think they're too good of a team here for Troy. Add in the spot, and I think laying the 3 on the road here is a pretty good look with the Thundering Herd.
All right, I'm with you on the Ravens. I added this bet as well this week. It went down to 2.5 on the Baltimore Ravens. I was going to play them at 3, but 2.5, obviously better than 3. You're with me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they played 7 pretty good quarters up until they just completely fell apart in the fourth quarter against Miami. And the reality of it is New England doesn't have that kind of dynamic players at the skill positions. You know, they don't have a Jaylen Waddle. They don't have a Tyreek Hill. Mac Jones is fine, but you know, he doesn't have a lot of weapons around him that I think can really hurt this Baltimore defense. And the Patriots have only scored on 21.1% of their offensive possessions, which if you were watching them in the preseason and listening to all the talk of who was handling the play calling duties and all of that, you can see why they've had a lot of issues. And you know, we saw the Steelers not look very good again last night. The Patriots had all sorts of issues with Pittsburgh in week 2. I just think Baltimore here, they're the better team. They've scored on almost 40% of their possessions. They just had one bad quarter. And if they don't have that bad quarter, What is this line, Gil? 3.5 or 4?
Yeah.
I'll gladly take it at 2.5.
I am so with you on that. You are also part of the ever-growing Falcons chorus. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, a lot of people seem to like the Falcons this week, although we are back to Seattle -1 after sitting pick'em for a little while yesterday. The Seahawks are just bad. I mean, I know they got that win over Denver in week 1, and you guys were right with all your points about the Broncos before I came on here. Denver is 0-for-6 in the red zone. Denver had 2 turnovers inside the 5 in that game against Seattle. The Seahawks got really, really fortunate to win that game. And they're -1.1 in yards per play differential so far, which equates to being a really bad team. Whereas I kind of like some of the things I've seen from Atlanta, particularly on offense. They probably should have beaten the Saints in week 1. They didn't play well against the Rams for the first half last week, but they showed some things in the second half. They showed some fight when they certainly didn't have to. And also, playing on the West Coast again, they stayed in Seattle. And I liked that early on in the year for a team with a new quarterback, with a lot of young players, kind of that camaraderie building type of exercise thing. The run game looks good with Cordarrelle Patterson and Marcus Mariota. I just think the Falcons are frankly the better team here, and that's exactly what this line implies. If you assume that Seattle's got one of the better home field advantages in the NFL, and this line was down to pick, or it's Seattle -1, I agree with that sentiment that the Falcons are a better team on a neutral. So I think they're worth taking here this week.
All right, and finally, we just got to make this quick because we got 10 seconds. You do like the Rams laying the points against the Cardinals.
Yeah, again, if the Cardinals don't come back and the Rams don't blow the lead, what's this line? 5, 5.5? So I think the Rams are a little bit cheap here at 3.5 this week.
Adam, great talking to you. Congratulations on the nice Cleveland stretch, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gil.
Adam Burke, everybody, at Skating Tripods on the old Twitter machine. Chris Felica, the Bear, very happy with his Brown Survivor pick. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily picks at a glance recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, 24/7 video, season prep that includes our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long, pro tools like our exclusive betting splits, and pro tips updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Kelly, I am coming in Sunday morning and doing a segment with Brent. I'm very excited.
Big time.
Got the call from Stephen Bond, Brent's producer. He's like, hey, you want to come in and talk football with Brent? I'm like, do I want to come in and talk football with Brent? Are you kidding me? I'm in.
That's good stuff, man.
Very excited.
It's awesome. Brent's back here doing a show Sunday morning before NFL kickoffs. Like, that's awesome.
It's awesome. And then I casually say to Steven, I'm like, hey, is that at Circa or is that at South Point? I just need to know where I'm going. He was like, it's Circa.
It would have been so classic if you showed up here.
I'm like, hey, where's Brent?
You're like, I'm here with Vinny and Jimmy and everybody. Jeez, you're like, where are you at, Brent?
Boy, Brent is late this morning. This is, we get tweets at Beanie the Book. We always appreciate the feedback. A lot of tweets this morning. This is from, where did we leave off? My goodness, where did we leave off? There's so many of them. This is from, okay, this is from Eric Berg. Eric Berg, again, started commenting on all things we've talked about this morning. He said, I clicked start from the beginning, and Amazon Prime took me live to Jacoby Brissett winning player of the game. So he had a little problem with that. Brian Schaefer, Schaefer 31, he said, the Bear explained the rewinding on Amazon. You have to pay extra for rewinding on the DVR. So that's why I can't rewind.
I don't even know what I pay for and don't pay for with streaming services.
You know
anymore.
What? It's such a great point.
It's a really bad problem, but I have no idea.
I am paying for everything, and I have no idea what I'm paying.
Yep, me too.
Yeah. If you told me, Gil, you know, you're paying this for that, I'd be like, okay. If you say so.
But there are some streaming services I have where, like, commercials start, and I'm like, why are there commercials on this? I thought I paid to not have commercials.
Stephen B. at Captain Steve 13, he said, quote, Gil, as long as Jerry Jones is still the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, expect nothing, unquote. Truer words could not have been said. Keep on telling them. Maybe it'll finally get through. Thank you for that. Yeah, I truly believe that, for sure. Oh, Kev McD talking tennis. He said, hey, Gil, I got our girl Zhang Kinwen Zhang at 11-1 earlier this week after Drew gave the pick out any hedge opportunity or let it ride. I have Zhang and Samsonova, not as good at the number you have, by the way, because I have believed that they will meet in the finals. We're talking about Tokyo, the Tokyo tournament on the ladies' side. Right now, they're both in the semi. So for me, I've sort of set it up this way. Samsonova would be the one. Like, if you wanted to make a bet on her now, if you really want to hedge, that's the lady I would hedge on, Ludmila Samsonova. And I do think they are headed for a collision course here, both in the semis in Japan. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the bear. He is the glue that holds College Game Day together. He, of course, is half of the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. He's not Stanford Steve. That's the hint. And he's part of the Daily Wager crew Monday through Friday on ESPN2. It's Christopher Felica, everybody, who, by the way, it should also be noted, is leading the college football contest at William Hill. Mazel tov, Chris. Nice start.
Well, I'm sure nothing will possibly happen in the next 8 weeks that will change my position. I mean, what could possibly go wrong from here, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's been a nice start, and we've gotten some the only game that I think I really got lucky on in terms of winning that I probably shouldn't have was Syracuse last week. I had Syracuse, and they probably should not have won and covered, but they did. And I certainly will take any and all of those.
What's your record, by the way?
I'm 13-3.
13-3.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm actually 10-4, and 10-4 in the Nugget contest too, which I think is tied for second. So it's been a good start. Like I said, I have to boast about it now because pretty soon I probably won't be there.
Yeah, I told everybody you texted yesterday after the Browns won. You're like, enjoy your Sunday, and I added loser. That's what it felt like. Yeah.
But how great? I mean. It's scary because, like, Survivor, like you hit on it too. Like it encompasses your life, and now that you know you're through to the next week, it's like, okay, just sit back on Sunday and see what underdog can come through and help me out.
It really is true. You can watch the carnage ensue. All right, before we get to your college football picks, we wanted to ask you about Oregon State, Kelly. What's the deal at Caesars with Oregon State?
Yeah, just send this to you. I'm sure you've caught this, Chris, but I saw this tweet yesterday from Max Myers. Oregon State spread has more bets than 29 of 32 NFL Week 3 sides this week. USC-Oregon State spread has over two times as many bets as any other college football Week 4 spread.
You like that, Chris? You agree with that?
It's Chris. Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's a game that we've been talking about as a trouble spot for USC going on the road to a hostile environment for the first time this year. Yes, I know they went on the road, but they went to Stanford. That's not a hostile environment. And Oregon State's a team that, I mean, Jonathan Smith, 2019, no team has pulled more upsets than Oregon State. So I get it. It all adds up. I don't know. I think you can get USC at like 5.5 now in a couple of places. And I actually might be interested at SC. At 5.5, Oregon State's going to be down. Their tight end, who's one of the better players in the country, can they run the ball well enough? Can they utilize the play action without a couple of their weapons there to really keep SC up? You know, the key is going to be just the start of the game because SC has come out and scored touchdowns on 12 of their 18 first half drives. So they've been lethal in the first half. Before the move at 7, I guess I would have been interested in Oregon State, but now. I wouldn't be betting Oregon State if I'm going to have that. Don't chase the move.
All right. Your favorite plays of this weekend in college football, sir?
Oh, there's been a lot of movement. So things have changed. I liked Iowa at 7.5 against Rutgers. I think that's up to 8 or 9 in some places, which is kind of interesting. I wouldn't have thought that the Hawkeyes would have gotten that much play to move it up. I like Texas Tech getting the 7 at home against Texas. Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of contrarian, but I mean, Texas Tech at home is a much different team than Texas Tech on the road. Their defense has actually played much better this year than I think a lot of people would have expected. Texas, don't listen to any Ewers is not playing. Card will be the quarterback on the road. Texas Tech coming home off of the loss at NC State. I think this is a very dangerous game for Texas coming off of the big emotional comeback win last week over UTSA. So I like Texas Tech. And the game that I'm going to hate myself, probably hate myself for liking, probably jumping in at this point, is Texas A&M down to 1.5. Like, Arkansas screams the right side. Arkansas screams public dog. Like, I saw that A&M offense last week, and they are atrocious. But at the same time, Arkansas almost looks like too obvious of an underdog in this spot, being that Pittman's been so successful there, and KJ Jefferson gives teams a bunch of problems. So I think I'm going to wind up on A&M tomorrow. Here's the all-time stinker for the week. New Mexico State laying the 4.5 against Hawaii. But look, these are two of the worst teams in the country. But I think Hawaii, at least there's a big coaching edge, I think, from Jerry Kill over Timmy Chang in that game. New Mexico State got blown out by a couple of Big Ten teams. And now you look at Hawaii, back and forth from the mainland to the island. I would think Jerry Kill should be able to figure out at least some type of game plan to beat Hawaii by more than 4.5 points. And the look ahead game for tomorrow that I'd be considering backing is Northern Illinois. I know they have a quarterback situation with maybe an injury to Rocky Lombardi that might affect him. But Kentucky goes to Ole Miss next week, and you're expecting Kentucky to just walk out there and beat a team by 4 touchdowns. That might seem like a little too much, especially in a situation where they might be looking ahead to the road game against the Rebels next week. So the line moves definitely affected some of the games that I may have liked earlier in the week to what I like now. So I don't know if I'm going to play Iowa at the current number now, even though I do think the Hawkeyes are on the right side.
All right. All of these picks, in case you missed any of that, will be at VSiN.com/newsletter. Not just Chris Felica's picks, but every pick on this show and every show on this network. VSiN.com/newsletter. Chris, we got to go, but final question. How many more weeks do we have where, if you're still in the lead or you're vying for the lead, where we want to do your college football picks and you're like, I can't because the other competitors are listening?
I haven't even thought about it. So I mean, if we get to a point maybe with a couple of weeks to go, that might be a situation. But I'm not even going to worry about it until it actually comes to an opportunity where it might actually matter.
A good answer. Chris, enjoy your weekend.
I will. You guys do the same.
Chris Felica, everybody. Sitting on his Brown survivor play. Now just going to watch all the carnage happen on Sunday. Good position to be in.
You know
who else who had Browns in survivor last night?
Who's that?
That's Matt Brown from the Final Countdown. He's on the other side on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Jonathan Von Tobel. We got a pro football betting podcast as well. Danny Burke hosts that. Daily Morning Bets with Josh Applebaum. And then, of course, the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, Beating the Book. Hey, I know that one. That's with me, Todd Wishnev, Jeff Parlay. When we do the Megapods on Thursday, we do Guessing Lines on Monday. All of that. And every show has a podcast as well. So here's the thing with this show. So we do Guessing Lines on Monday on the Beating the Book feed, but then Tuesday through Friday, we have A Numbers Game podcast. All of these available at VSiN.com, and they're all free. That's the good stuff about that. Deep dive on all. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin is here. Kelly, you good? Everything good with you?
No, yeah, we're having just some technical issues back here. Okay. You know, just another day.
All right. Well, here's the thing. So here's the thing. Let's do our... You want to do our bets here?
Yeah, let's do that here.
Let's go with your bets that you've made so far this weekend. Week number 3, National Football League.
Yeah, we'll start with what I've got so far in the NFL. Let's see. We will have the Packers and Bucks under 47.5. That was an opening play that I bet pretty heavily. Jags plus 7, also on the opener. Just taking a speculative bet there that Herbert's not going to be fully healthy. Small bet. We'll see what happens there with Herbert and his health. The Ravens laid 3 earlier the week. Smaller bet. I think I will be adding to that on the 2.5, waiting to see injury reports. Duvernay, Marlon Humphrey both banged up this week, missing time on practice. So waiting to see on that, Gil, but probably adding to the 2.5, probably right at the book right behind you. right after the show here in about 15 minutes. Yeah. So I've got that. And then Falcons money line I took early in the week, and then Eagles and Falcons 6-point teaser for me. So Eagles down to laying half a point and Falcons up to 8.
Teasers have not been fun this year so far, have they? Not fun.
Shockingly, they have not. Yeah. Been a little interesting.
So I am, again, I'm employing the going with the guessing lines instinct strategy until it fails me. It may very well fail me any week, but so far so good. So what that means is it sort of informed all my bets, and I have in the account already bets on the San Francisco 49ers. I got them at Pick'em against the Denver Broncos. Couldn't believe that the Niners weren't favorites when we did guessing lines. The Broncos were favorites, actually, on Monday morning. So I took the Niners as a Pick'em when I played that. The Cowboys, same story. We ran into a wall at the end of guessing lines. Cowboys taking on the Giants Monday night. Couldn't believe that that was what it was. So I took the Cowboys at plus 125. I think the Giants fall this week on Monday night. Now, I did make two other bets, one of which I kind of regret. The Buccaneers -2.5. Obviously, Mike Evans suspended. And just too many things swirling around that team. That game is a virtual pick'em at this point between the Buccaneers and the Packers. Packers have some issues as well. But I did play the Buccaneers, just a full disclosure of what's in the account. And I played the Ravens. I played the Ravens at, that should say -2.5, by the way, not money line, -125. I played the Ravens -2.5 points in their contest here this week. So my thing is with Ravens, by the way, playing at the Patriots. This also now informs, so those are the bets that I have going. Those are bets in the account. This also now informs the dilemma of Survivor. And I do mean dilemma. Now, Kelly, you have one entry, correct?
One entry, still alive.
And I got three.
One.
What's that?
I'm still alive, but I also haven't been dead in any because I only played one entry.
You only played one entry. Yeah. Okay, so you still got your entry going.
Which it sounds really funny being proud of that, you know, in week three.
No. Listen, again, the year I got to week 14 where I got Jared Goff to 17-point favorites against the Jets, I had two entries. The first one lost in week one, and that other one lasted all the way to week 14. I have famously on this show sort of said, when you have multiple entries, you don't play the extra entries optimally. And so I believe that having extra entries over time is somewhat overrated. Mm. However, I would say that this year, not so overrated. Not so overrated. Not all years in Survivor are created equally. Sometimes you have the ability to pick on the Jets and the Jaguars week after week after week. That was the case 2 years ago. Last year, kind of a hybrid of that. This year, complete mayhem. So with one entry, I'm not sure I would know who to play anyway. Like, what's the best pick in week one? What are you thinking about playing? My dilemma is more complex than that, or maybe it's not. My dilemma is, do I play three different plays? Do I play it 2-1, which is what I did last week? Or do I go all out with one team on all three? That last option would seem a little too daredevil-y to me.
I think for this week, yes.
Because I have no confidence in any of these teams.
Right. I mean, your confidence level is lower this week than any of the weeks before, right? And probably most weeks, you know, the most weeks to come, at least over the next few. So I would think for you, you got to spread them around a little bit.
At least a little bit.
Maybe to two teams, right? At least two teams.
Well, we were talking off air with Goulet also about, like, you know, Matt took Cleveland, Tim Murray and Sean King took Cleveland last night. Good on them. I never considered them for a second because I liked Pittsburgh's chances in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no regret for me on that. So then it comes down to who are the candidates? And the candidates, once again, and I'll say this, I'll repeat what I said earlier this week. This is the first week of 2 years and 2 weeks of Survivor, the circa era, if you will, of Survivor, where I have openly recommended playing teams that are close to a pick'em or like 1 or 2 point favorites, as a candidate anyway, because I just don't think you have that many options. You have the Bengals as an option on the road against the Jets, talking about the bigger favorites now.
Yep.
Do you trust them fully?
I mean, I don't know if anybody could trust fully the Bengals from what you've seen so far. However, I think this is the week, finally, that they bounce back and get a W.
So will the Bengals end up as one of my plays? Maybe.
For me, probably not, but they are in consideration.
These are all for consideration. Vikings, close to a touchdown favorite, right? 6-7 point favorites at home against the Lions. Do you trust the Vikings? Do you ever trust the Vikings?
So this was the one I kind of went back and forth the other day between Bengals, Vikings, right? And kind of eliminated Vikings because I'd rather play the Bengals over the Vikings, even though Vikings are at home. It's a division opponent, short week for them. I'd rather play the Bengals against a worse team.
The other thing about this with Survivor is it's the first time 2 years and 2 weeks into the circuit year of Survivor where I have had thoughts in my head of not caring about saving, right? Like, so the Vikings, there's a Thanksgiving or Christmas consideration with them. I believe it's Thanksgiving, right, against the Patriots. Normally, I would say, well, I may want to save them for Thanksgiving. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I trust them that day any more than I trust them now. But obviously, there's fewer options that day. Do I care as much about that? And because I have multiple entries, do I care about it because if I use multiple entries and multiple picks, it won't apply to one or two other entries that I'm using the Vikings. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's like I don't know. I'm a little more haphazard with this just because I don't know where to go. The other thing is my bets should inform this, right? Shouldn't it? Shouldn't it make sense that if I like Baltimore laying the points,
yeah,
shouldn't I consider Baltimore?
And that's what I keep going back to, right? It's the, okay, yeah, I've got the Eagles in the teaser, but I've been talking about liking the Ravens all week. I think that I need to lean on that.
You like the Eagles as a candidate. I don't. I would not touch the Eagles here.
The other one, just news coming down on a couple of these teams that have been banged up. And another one that people might be considering out there, the Bills. McDermott ruling out Micah Hyde and Jordan Phillips, defensive tackle Jordan Phillips, out for Sunday's
That's
game
big.
Against Miami. And then one note I caught on McCaffrey. Dealing with ankle stiffness earlier in the week off the injury report, will play.
He'll never be the same, that guy. Just doesn't feel it. It just feels like he'll be injury-riddled from here on out. And, of course, the biggest thing that you have to wait for on the injury report, speaking of injury reports, is what's the Justin Herbert story? Because the Chargers are the biggest favorite on the board, right? Tied for the biggest favorite on the board, or they might be outright, I think, the biggest favorite.
They are.
But if you don't know that Justin Herbert is going to play, and as Kelly pointed out earlier, even if he does play, we saw the pain he was in the other night. Maybe the pain has lessened, but maybe it hasn't. Maybe the good stuff's going to wear off at some point in the game, yeah, if you know what I mean, against the Jaguars.
I mean, look, I can't play him. I could be completely wrong, right? Like, right. Herbert could suit up, look absolutely fine, gets the good stuff before the game, and blows out the Jaguars. All I'm saying for betting purposes and survivor purposes, yes, in my opinion,
correct,
pregame, you can't do anything with this Chargers side.
And if we don't learn anything about Justin Herbert by the 4 p.m. Pacific deadline tomorrow, how can you possibly play them in Survivor?
Can't.
Okay. And then there's, again, if I think the Niners are going to beat the Broncos and I think the Cowboys are going to beat the Giants, even though those lines are what they are, meaning a tick in either direction, shouldn't I consider those two teams? So for me, this is the most free-for-all week. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but I do believe it's the most free-for-all week that I could ever remember in the 2 years and 2 weeks. So for the Chris Felicas and the Matt Browns of the world who have gotten through with the Browns, good on them. Good on them for being able to sit back and not have to make this decision anymore for week number 3 in the National Football League. Matt Brown, co-host of the Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni here 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. He's just around the bend. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas? You could also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager with BetMGM, sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Midland Bidlin is here as well, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. And ladies and gentlemen, Matt Brown making his weekly appearance here on the show. He's the co-host of Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni, weekdays here at VSiN, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And you know if Matt's on the show, you know what that means, Kelly. Leg day. It's the only reason he's here. Otherwise, there's no chance. Matt,
teaser,
how you doing?
Teaser leg day.
Teaser. Matt, you, first of all, Matt Brown, everybody, at M Brown, what is it, M Brown 2 on Twitter, what is it?
Sure. Yeah, no, Matt Brown M2, but
Matt
it's fine.
Brown
it
M2.
Really, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but you were close, too.
Matt, I was close.
You actually got close.
Yeah, I mean, if it was up on the screen, I would get it. Mm-hmm. Matt Brown M2. Matt, you are feeling very smug because you took the Browns last night, Survivor, aren't you?
No, I just, like I we were texting with each other, and like I said, I'm just going extremely high variance strategy moving forward with this. Like the way that this has kind of panned out is, hey, look, if I have a whole bunch of good teams left, if I can actually make it to week 8, you know, like, I mean, that's still an if, but if I can make it to week 8 and still have a whole bunch of good teams that nobody else has, then, you know, I'm putting myself in a pretty decent position. So I'm just going extremely high variance here for at least the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And if I make it that way, then, you know, I'll put myself in a good spot to maybe make a run at it.
Yeah, one of my remaining three is what I call the poo-poo platter entry. I'm doing the same thing with one of them. But you did it with both of them yesterday is what I'm hearing. You have two left?
Yeah, so I started with two. So, I started with two. And so I've got
still have two.
The Saints, the Niners, and the Browns out of the way now. So those are the three teams I've gotten out of the
mine
way.
Mine is Washington and Denver so far. So same sort of deal. Yeah. All right. So the Bengals failed you on the teasers last week, didn't they?
Dude, the first 2 weeks of the anchor teaser leg has been brutal for me. The missed 42-yard Rodrigo Blankenship field goal that got him cut by the Colts, killed all those, and then, of course, we know what ended up happening last week. We got Zach Taylor, unfortunately, with Cincinnati. So we shall see. The one that I have multiple legs this week is the Eagles, which I have taken down to, which I thought was going to be a good bet to take them down to one. Market moved against me, so it's sitting 6, 6.5 as we sit right now. So you could do better if you wanted to put the Eagles in a couple of teasers. But that's the only one where I have multiple legs this week. I didn't find as many that I was in love with. There were actually a ton that I should have been in love with, right? I mean, if we know how to play teasers where you get these super low totals, you're able to get the things up to 8, 8.5. I mean, I should have been in love with a whole lot more this week than I was, but I just couldn't get myself to pull the trigger.
Okay, so the Eagles are your teaser anchor. You've teased them with both the Niners and the Packers, teasing both the Niners and Packers as long teaser legs up through the 3 and the 7. Now, your straight bets, I'm loving two of these. We are simpatico on two of these three, beginning with the Baltimore Ravens, which has gone down again, once again, from 3 to 2.5, even better.
Yeah, so I guess something, I was trying to look at the injury reports before we were coming on. I don't know if this is people just preemptively doing something or if news did come through, but the 2.5s are getting erased. So if you do want the 2.5s, you need to get on it. It's all flipping to 3 out there right now in favor of this Ravens team. This was a ridiculous line, in my opinion, whenever you look at this. I mean, the Ravens needed a miracle comeback by the Dolphins to not win a convincing win, I might add. Not just a win, a convincing win over one of the hottest teams in the NFL that everyone's talking about this week in the Miami Dolphins. And listen, the thing that got Miami back in that game was the explosive plays. And one of the things we don't have to worry about with the New England Patriots, even if these corners can't go, of course,
explosive plays. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're monitoring Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters and all those guys. Like, we get it, but they ain't Jalen Waddle and they ain't Tyreek Hill on that New England Patriots team. There is none of those guys. They ain't got the dudes, right? There is no explosive plays to be had for this New England Patriots team. And not only that, you got Jacoby Myers, who's the only good receiver that they have, who's been DNP for last Wednesday and Thursday practices. So we'll see what his status is here on Friday. So, I mean, it just, everything to me points to this Ravens team. I think this thing moved the way that it did, like, you know, back all the way down. Like, I was sitting there looking at this and seeing this got all the way down to 2.5 after the Wednesday injury report, but it's kind of like, look, if you've done this long enough, you know, like, these Wednesday injury reports really are just giving us an indication of what we need to be looking for on Thursday and Friday, not necessarily what the status of these dudes really are. Everyone's freaking out. Lamar Jackson was out on the field with a sleeve on his arm on Wednesday. His arm's broken. You know, it's like, no, he was back out there practicing like normal on Thursday, you know? And so it's that was an overreaction to me. I loved the 2.5, pounced on it. I think this is a really, really, really egregious move on an injury report that was, again, a Wednesday injury report that doesn't really mean a whole lot.
Kelly was laughing. Why were you laughing back there?
I'm just looking at the board. I got there's a flat 2.5 here at the South Point, Matt. You're gonna have to move. Get to work early. You gotta move.
Yeah, I loved it. I hit it, you know, multiple times, and you know, again, it's my favorite bet I have in the account this week.
All right, you are still in the Bengals camp. You are laying the points here.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this one as, hey, look, the problem with Cincinnati for the first couple of weeks has been obviously the offensive line, and the offensive line not being able to protect Joe Burrow. Well, I mean, look, let's look at this. Joe Burrow, through these first couple of games, has been sacked 13 different times. You know, fortunately, the Jets are 30th in pass rush win rate in this game. Two of the three most pressured quarterbacks in the NFL are playing in this game. Burrow is actually third at 34 pressures. The number one most pressured quarterback, Joe Flacco, with 40. And so I think if you look at this, it actually really, the thing that would be worried about would be if you're back in the Jets in this, that Joe Flacco is going to be pressured and have a ridiculously tough time moving the ball down the field in this game. And guys, look, here's the deal. This was at 4.5. I just played the alt to 5 and got the plus money on it. And I think this is kind of one of those deals, which I'm sure you guys have talked about tons on your show. But I mean, you know, when we get in those numbers that we consider to be dead numbers, the 4.5s, the 5s, the 5.5s, like, you know, it's actually land the number of when the spread has been a 4.5, a 5 or a 5.5, it has actually landed on either 5 or 6 only 13 times in the last 8 seasons. Jeez. So it's one of those deals where it's like, if you see that for, and you want to play the favorite, I think that it's always best to just like play the alt line at a half point higher and get plus money on the bet. Like, I think that's just the best way to go as opposed to really deal with, you know, the -110. I'll play the 5 as opposed to the 4.5 and get plus 105 on those type of bets. I even thought about taking the 5.5, right? And just getting, you know, plus 120-ish on a bet like that. So just, you know, something to consider anyway when we get into that dead zone that we talk about where it never lands on those numbers anyway. So you might as well just move to one of the alt lines to get plus money on your bet.
That's a great point. All right, you have one more. And for God's sakes, make it quick because I have a pro tip to give, Matt.
Yes, I know.
No, I'm kidding.
Pro tip. Pro tip.
You have a minute. You have a minute. You are on the Niners as well.
Yeah, I love the Niners in this situation. It seems like we were all right on this because this number has completely flipped. I mean,
yeah.
I like this team better with Garoppolo at quarterback. I mean, I understand the upside isn't quite there with what maybe you get from a Trey Lance, but I'll take the baseline. I'll take the floor of a Jimmy Garoppolo. Now it looks like it's trending for George Kittle to be back out on the field. So just another weapon here. And let's be for real. Nathaniel Hackett is probably even lower on my coaching power rankings than even Pete Carroll right now.
Wow.
You guys know how I feel about Pete Carroll.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I'll take the 49ers. I'll take the coaching. I'll take the team. I like this spot for them a ton.
And the George Kittle point is a great one because that is a huge, huge, needless to say, huge addition potentially for the San Francisco Niners. The line that I was most incredulous about on guessing lines on Monday morning, for sure. Matt Brown, ladies and gentlemen, at Matt Brown.
Pro tip.
M2. Pro tip coming. Good luck with all your bets, man. And congratulations on the Browns.
Appreciate it. You too.
Co-host of with Stormy Bonatoni on the Final Countdown right here at VSiN.com. You check out the Final Countdown, Kelly?
Every day.
Like those two together, man. All right. No reason to force a bet pregame. Remember that. Especially when dealing with major injury questions like that of the Chargers with Justin Herbert. Wait for the game to start. See how he looks before betting. You got to know what his status is. That's your pro tip for the hour. Not just Herbert alone, but beyond that. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Good luck from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.